You're very welcome.
We've got to look back to last night first off. A very important point there for Leeds United.
Yeah, I think it was. And a point that at the moment when Chriswood scored, you almost couldn't see coming. There's not been a team in recent years, Leeds, who've weighed in with a lot of injury time goals. And time was ticking away. Fulham had looked really solid at the back. They'd given away the odd chance, but I think it'd been the better defence of the two. And it was stacking up quite badly against Gary Monk. Three defeats on the bounce, that would have been. We were looking back at the record books and worst run for 80 years in the league. Leeds haven't lost their first league game since 1936. But I think, looking at the here and now, having scraped through against Fleetwood in the League Cup, no points from three games would have been a very poor return. And I think would have turned off the pressure significantly ahead of Sheffield Wednesday and Nottingham Forest away. 1 point from nine, I don't think Monk himself is going to pretend that that's a good return. But it just gets the table ticking over, and it does look better being on 1 point as opposed to none. And I just think the timing of that goal, the fact that they dug a result out right at the end, will make an awful lot of people at Leeds feel an awful lot better this morning.
Yeah, you're right there. And that Chris Wood overhead kick, certainly doing it in style. It seemed like he was without a bit of confidence. Getting that goal surely do him a lot of good. But there's also been a lot of talk about his celebration as well.
Yeah, he hasn't had a good start to the season, and I don't think there's any way of disguising that. I don't think he's been particularly influential in any of the games. He hasn't looked like scoring. The service to him has not been brilliant either, and I do think with Wood there's a mixture of an issue between the fact that his finishing isn't as sharp as you'd want from your main striker. There's no question of that at all. But equally, the way the team are playing, the service to him, and this was true last season as well, is not really playing to his strengths and not giving him a huge number of chances to feed on. It has been noticeable that there's been criticism of him from the crowd, I think frustration at the way he's playing, and particularly last night before he scored that goal and difficult finish that it was. Missed a much easier header right in front of the goal, a few yards away from David Button, and headed the ball straight into the ground and over the crossbar. And I think again he just felt that it was going to be one of those nights for him, that it was going to be a fourth game in which he hadn't really impressed. Terrific finish, but yeah, it was an interesting celebration, and I think it spoke of probably the frustration he's feeling with the criticism of him, the attention of him, cupping his ear to the cop, which is a brave move to my mind. I never feel that that's a fight that players should be trying to pick, but I think from his point of view, when he looks back at it, it'll have been as much about relief as it will have been about frustration. I'm sure he'll have known himself that he needed that goal, and the problem with strikers when they're not scoring is that it becomes harder and harder for head coaches to back them. And if Gary Monk had been coming out of last night's game with three defeats, no points from a possible nine, then there'd be big questions to ask about what's going on up front and the fact that he needs to get results. But he'll be hoping, and Wood will be hoping, that this is a start of a little run of goals for him.
Yeah, very much seems that way. And on the team performance as well, it seemed a much improved performance from what we saw over there at QPR in those first two league games.
It was better than QPR, no question, although that it would be difficult to get a whole lot worse than that performance down there. And I think looking at the second half against Birmingham as well, there was more consistency over the 90 from Leeds. I did feel that they were more competitive in the main, that they hung in the game far better than they had in the second half against Birmingham. But to my mind, I still thought Fulham were the better team last night. I didn't think that was in doubt. Slicker with a passing, more pace up front, better movement, I felt better into play, and without doubt had the better of the chances, hit the post twice, a couple of near misses from very close range. Great finish from Tom Kearney, and I did think the difference last night, in simple terms, was one of quality. I thought Fulham had it to a higher degree than Leeds did. But one thing that struck me was that we saw Fulham last season under Jukanovic, their coach, and at no point last season did they particularly impress me. They were fairly close to relegation, got away with that quite narrowly. Didn't look like they were improving massively. But they looked a different animal to me last night. And that just kind of tells you that along with a fairly decent recruitment policy, even though they've lost McCormack and Dembele, the time that Jukanovic has been given and the time that he's had to put that squad together to get it playing his way has really benefited him, and I do think that they are slowly coming good under him and not necessarily going to be a top six side, but I think they're going to be far closer to that ballpark this season. And a little lesson for Leeds, I think, that without any question, Monk's style is not coming through at this stage. You're not looking at the team and thinking that they're vastly different to Uwe Rosler's side, vastly different to Steve Evans' side. But we're only talking about three games under him. And I think in time, the style will settle in. I think with the right players in the right areas, and particularly with the signings coming in this week, it's going to be easier for him to start constructing a settled side and a favoured side. And for me, that will make a difference. And this is one of these scenarios where somehow Leeds have got to have patience with this and have got to just let Monk get his feet under the table and settle properly.
Yeah, very interested to see how Gary Monk gets on in those next few games. I'll ask you about Sheffield Wednesday in a minute, Phil. But first, I just want to pick up on a little bit in the transfer market. Leeds United linked heavily with Jansen, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, that centre-back from Torino. What do we know about him already?
Yeah, Pontus Jansen, he's a Sweden international. He's a big guy, actually, 6'5". And I think anybody watching Leeds defence would think that a tank like that in the middle of it would not go amiss. He hasn't played a great deal for Torino in the last couple of years, but he was good enough to get in Sweden's squad for Euro 2016. And I think even though he's 25, he still seems to be seen as a player with plenty of potential and plenty to offer at this level. It sounds like it'll be a season-long loan. I think we're expecting that one to go through in the next 24 hours. And again, I mean, when I came away from Birmingham on Saturday, you just felt that in the centre of midfield, there was a glaring gap for somebody like Liam Bridcutt, who obviously was signed yesterday morning. There are issues in the centre of defence without any question. I think particular issues with the former Saul Bamba, but even with Cooper and Bartley last night, it was better, but it wasn't perfect. And I think that, you know, there were too many chances for Fulham for Gary Monk's liking. And I do think that area really needs addressed. So Jansen coming in, I think is a good move and a player in the right position. For me at the moment, I would suggest that another goal scorer is needed as well. Wood might find form. Marcus Anderson has impressed me up front. But I just feel that they're slightly lacking in that area and potentially short of goals if Wood does find that this fallow period extends for any great distance. But this is the thing. I mean, I almost feel with Gary Monk that in the early games, he's been having to make do in certain positions. I think in the centre of midfield, he knows that he doesn't have a Liam Bridcutt, or he hasn't had a Liam Bridcutt. So he's been trying to find a solution with players that, if Bridcutt was in the squad, wouldn't be getting into the team. And I think, again, he's played Bamba at QPR. He's played Bamba against Bristol City. But I think Liam Cooper is probably ahead of Bamba in the pecking order. And I think if Pontus Jansen does sign as we're expecting, then he'll jump ahead of Bamba as well. And once these players start to come in and once the team starts to look more complete, you've got a manager who can have a settled team, who can have a preferred team and a preferred way of playing. And I think in the early weeks, Gary Monk's probably found out that his squad just isn't quite there in terms of strength. But I do think on the back of a bit of work in the past couple of days, it's much better.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way, and looking forward to see what happens there as well. But something that's been swimming around for quite a long time, it is news of a takeover. And Phil, there's been quite a few sort of rumoured takeovers over the years over at Leeds United. But when you look at this one, is there any real legs in this kind of takeover rumours?
I have to say, without knowing the full ins and outs of it, that it feels a lot more credible than the average rumour that pops up about buyouts. And you're right. I mean, these are one a month, two a month, something like that. They do come around regularly. But there is no question that Andrea Radrizzani, the employee at MP and Silver, a big global media firm that he founded, there's no question that he has been in discussions with Massimo Cellino. And from what I can gather, they've been talking for at least the last 4 weeks. And they're not talking about anything other than investment. And if they're talking investment, and if, as people are suggesting, Radrizzani is representing Chinese buyers, then I think they'll be talking about a takeover. The MO of the Chinese in European football hasn't been to part-owned clubs. It's been to buy them and to own them outright. And that is true at Wolves, it's true at Villa, it's been true at other places across the continent, and I suspect it'll be the same at Hull City if they are purchased. So that may well be in the pipeline. Radrizzani, I contacted him last week. He said it was at an early stage. He said it was just simple discussions. He really wasn't giving anything away about what his intentions were or what he wanted to do. But I do think this is one to watch, which isn't to say that it's necessarily going to lead to anything. I just get the feeling that there's some genuine interest here and some genuine momentum behind it. And as ever, a lot rests on Cellino and what he wants to do. And ultimately, this will come down to whether or not he wants to give it up, whether he wants to relinquish anything in the club. But I certainly wouldn't disregard this one. And I think in the next few weeks, this will tick over a little more.
Yeah, certainly interested to see what happens there. And Phil, I've got to look at some of the fixtures coming up for Leeds United as well. In the league, Sheffield Wednesday away at Hillsborough. That's always a difficult challenge. Nottingham Forest away. And then, of course, the big derby is Leeds United take on Huddersfield. And looking at Sheffield Wednesday, obviously they lost to Burton Albion last night. But it's always a difficult place to go, Hillsborough. But Leeds will bring that big crowd, I suppose. It's going to be interesting to see if Sheffield Wednesday are really looking for a reaction after last night's result as well.
Yeah, weird result for them. I mean, they've had an odd week, actually. The problems with Forestieri before the Norwich game and a fairly grovelling apology from him on Monday, which by all accounts has been pretty well accepted, I think. That between them, they seem to have smoothed that one over for now, and they're still interested to see whether or not anything comes of him in the transfer market towards the back end of this window. I can't honestly imagine that he'd have refused to travel to Norwich unless there was some issue in his mind about either the size of his contract at Wednesday or the potential offers that were coming from elsewhere. So, you know, I kind of wonder where that one's going. But it is a difficult game, and I think Wednesday will be strong this season. I think they're a top six side again. And it kind of underlines why the result last night was so important. Even though it wasn't a win, even though it's 1 point from a possible nine, I think if you're going to Hillsborough with three straight defeats, you're starting to get into the realms of finishing this month potentially with no points, 1 point, 3 points, a fairly poor return. And as we know from previous head coaches under Chelino, you cannot afford that here, and you can't afford to have that sort of run this early in the season. And it will pick Leeds United's tails up a little bit. The only time I've ever watched a game between Wednesday and Leeds that was extremely one-sided was that horrendous 6-0 defeat under Brian McDermott. And generally speaking, these games are very, very close, very tight derbies. And that was true of the 2-0 defeat last season. Wednesday scored two soft goals right at the start of the second half, but Leeds had a lot of that game and potentially the best of that game if you're being neutral about it. And we're just picked off by the fact that Wednesday had players who scored goals and were very, very good at poaching chances. Gary Hooper got both the goals that day. So I don't think there'll be a lot between them, but I certainly think Wednesday start as favourites. And I just feel that in this game or against Forest, Leeds have got to get a win on the board. And it's not an easy week coming up because they've got Luton Town away in the League Cup, and that suddenly starts to look like the sort of fixture Gary Monk could kind of do without. But somehow I think they have to be going out of this month with 4 or 5 points just to keep themselves in a decent position.
Yeah, very much seems that way, and looking forward to seeing what happens in all of those games. Phil, as always, absolute pleasure. Thanks a lot for joining us here on the Afternoons.
Thanks very much.